some red-white game, a little baseball. If you haven't heard yet, no Razorback baseball tonight. Man, it's a good thing they never did this in football. It would have been very confusing back in the day where they're just like, eh, the weather's not going to be great. We'll postpone it. Yeah, that's the ticket.
Man, I can remember playing in monsoons, snowstorms, blizzards, wind. No one ever came out. Lightning, no, that'll shut down anything quick. But,
this is true.
But the weather, hey, suit it up and let's get it.
How many games did you play in snow? Snow is fun now.
No, it's not.
Oh, I liked it.
Not for a receiver. The ball is like catching a freaking brick.
That's true.
Somebody throwing a brick at you. But I would much rather be rather it be like somewhere in the 70s, 75, 80.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, Fayetteville, you never can tell what's going to happen with the weather.
Busy day in the zone today. We will talk about the two deep, the post-spring two deep, something the morning show intentionally gave the Heisman. They have no interest in such things. We will talk about we'll get J.J.'s thoughts on the red-white game, too. I do want to congratulate Dave Van Horn. We had Todd Butler on yesterday talking about the Razorback baseball team again, a team that will not be playing again until the weekend. He was named the 2014 USA manager for the collegiate national team. He says, I couldn't be more excited and honored to be selected as manager for the 2014 USA baseball collegiate national team. What else would you expect him to say? Anytime you have the opportunity to wear the Team USA jersey, it's an honor and a privilege. Congratulations to Dave Van Horn. Who else are you going to pick? I mean, come on. The guy is fantastic. So take that, Tiger Bait. Our manager is coaching the USA team, and your team, your manager is not. So, there. What else we got today? Joe Klein will be in. We'll talk some NBA hoops. If you didn't catch on to that whole deal again at the beginning, Clippers did win last night in dramatic fashion. Also, the Bulls even their series last night with the Nets with a victory. And we've got games tonight. We'll get Joe's thoughts on the playoffs in general. Bulls win last night 90-82. Even that series at one apiece. Bucks and Heat tonight, and I don't even know why they make these guys play this thing, but whatever. In fact, the Heat are so bored, they took their shirts off at practice yesterday and played around the world. They're so bored with playing the Bucks, they have to make it interesting amongst themselves.
Hey, man, I think LeBron James is like a cyborg. I think, like, if you open up his chest, it might be like a circuit board or something in there, man. That guy is incredible. But if you want to hear Jordan fans, like, get upset, you know, start talking about the debate between LeBron James and Michael Jordan for the best ever. That is going to be a very heated discussion. But right now, the question is, who can beat the Heat, or if anybody can beat the Heat?
I just hope somebody can make it interesting so it's fun. But he's a freak. When he took his shirt off yesterday, I'm like, really? You're 6'8", you're 260 or whatever, and you're 4% body fat or whatever he is. I mean, the guy is chiseled.
Cyborg.
He's freakish looking. He's freakish looking the way that, remember David Robinson used to be.
Right.
It's like,
right.
There's no way a dude that big can be that chiseled.
Right. And that's the thing I like. I like when you see guys like a McFadden or, you know, guys with that. I mean, they're just different.
Yeah.
You know, I think just different. Yep. I think that's the best way to describe those guys.
I always compare it to the song, the bad boy band song from back in the day. God must have spent a little more time on you. LeBron James is on the list for sure.
No doubt.
The Celtics, the Knicks tonight as well. It's a 7 o'clock start, the early game against the Heat and the Bucks. I will be tuned in tonight. And then at 9:30 tonight, Nuggets and Warriors, and it's a series that I'm not paying a lot of attention to, but again, one of the more compelling, I think, as far as just entertainment value goes. And you got Steph Curry, who did not have a great outing in game one, but hoping for better tonight. Denver leads the series 1-0.
Then you got the George Karl. You got his situation. I think he's still kind of having some stuff going on with his cancer coming back and going in remission. And so it's an interesting story. I think he's a great guy for basketball and been around the sport. And so I'm kind of rooting for the Nuggets.
Yesterday we had the Buzz Golf Tournament down at Rebsman. I want to thank everybody down there as well as everybody here, Victoria, Matt, and everybody else on staff who helped make it all possible. And certainly a lot of folks around the company pitched in. All I did was just do my show and then play golf. My job was easy, as usual. But I want to thank the Carroll Mortgage Group. My man Jimmy C stacked his team. They weren't quite good enough to get into the top three in the afternoon flight, though. Morning flight, let me ask you about this. As a guy on the outside looking in, you don't work for us, full-time at least.
Okay.
Because we can't afford you. But Trey Schaap of our staff.
Okay.
It was Matt Jones' birthday yesterday. They played together, the overtime team, and they had a couple other ringers on the team. Well, they shoot 16 under in the morning, and they won the morning flight.
Okay.
Do you find that unethical to win your own golf tournament? You invite a bunch of people in, and then you beat them.
I think that you should just go out and compete as hard as you can compete. But I know you threw the ringer coming in there a little bit.
Well, early, Trey is a ringer.
So
Trey's.
I'm kind of treading lightly on that, but
it's not an exaggeration to say that Trey Schaap is one of the top five amateur golfers in the state.
Right.
So I mean, I think Trey should have to play from the other side of the ball, just to make it interesting.
Yeah, maybe you should have moved him back to the cart path, or, you know,
yeah,
something like that.
Put him back on the tips at least.
You know, maybe put a couple of obstacles out there, made it a little bit tougher for him. But
I think they should have made it. They should have sent like a former linebacker out there with him. We should have got Sam Olajuwon or somebody in town, and had him follow around. And like every six holes, as soon as Trey tees off, he's going to get tackled. So he has to think about that.
Man, but I think that's awesome. I need to get out there with Shap a little bit, see if I can help improve my game a little bit.
Well, Trey will rub off on you, and that's a good thing. Not normally, but in this case, yes. So anyway, thanks again to the Carroll Mortgage Group, our co-sponsor, Encore Health as well. Golden Corral provided breakfast, and we mentioned Joe Klein's going to be in today. Corky's provided lunch and dinner, so we certainly thank the folks over at Corky's. There was a ton of barbecue, catfish. We had sausage. I mean, they had the whole schmear for us yesterday. I got to find out the guy's name that does the catering, too. I see him, and I need to introduce myself. I feel like such a jackwagon, but I'm always in the middle of doing something else. And he's always there, and this guy is the best. Always smile on his face, always does a great job. I got to find out what his name is from Joe today. Also want to thank Glazers for the beverages yesterday. So, anyway, good time. And congrats to the first-place team yesterday, Trey McIntosh, Brett Lucas, Billy Zahala, speaking of stacking your team, and a guy named Ben Bigeri. So congratulations to the first-place winners of the Buzz Golf Tournament yesterday. Bottom of this hour, we're going to talk to Chris Gregg. It is NFL Draft Week, and if you turn on ESPN, they're only talking about two things. They're talking about Darrelle Revis going to Tampa, and they're talking about the upcoming NFL Draft. So certainly a lot of discussion. They're talking about the depth of field in the second and third rounds. This is also a very quarterback-poor class. So that has kind of been the general consensus.
Right.
So we'll get Chris's thoughts on what kind of information he's hearing, what he's been doing to prepare. And it is interesting to me, too, the rigmarole of going place to place and visiting.
Yeah, man. It's I know it's tough on a lot of guys to be able to always, you know, have a peak performance, you know, doing a couple of cross-country trips and, you know, guys wanting to test them out and do the 40. So it really becomes a physical and mental grind, you know, leading up to the draft. But at the same time, man, you got to feel like these guys are very excited about, you know, the upcoming, the futures, and, you know, not knowing exactly where they're going to be in a couple of weeks. And so I think with all of the pressure and everything, I think they're still probably having a great time and looking forward to this weekend's draft.
I'm not sure where he'll end up. I would like to think that Chris Gregg is pretty highly thought of from the tight end standpoint.
Man, he is like a Swiss Army knife as far as tight ends goes. He can block. He can catch.
He can cut your toenails.
Hey, he can.
He's got a little toothpick.
Hey, exactly. But you know what else though? You know he can. You can line him up wide. You can put him in the backfield. So hopefully we'll get him. We'll get him picked high. He'll get somewhere where he can get out there and start to contribute right away.
It would be good. So the two deep came out yesterday. Any surprises there? I guess there were a couple for most of us. If you, as a fan of the team, as a listener to the show, had thoughts, we certainly welcome those at 433-1037 or 1-800-477-1037. But a couple things that jumped out at most people would be a guy named Mitchell Lowen, who apparently, and even I think I saw comments from Coach Bielema saying, I'm not even sure how he got here, but he's like a tight end that came in from Hawaii, 6'4". 265, and he's number one on the depth chart. Nobody had heard this guy going into spring. Austin Tate is listed number two on the post-spring depth chart. So your receivers look like this. So, Jay, obviously you got, you know, insight into all of this, but especially from the receiver position. Demetrius Wilson, Julian Horton, Javonte Herndon, three seniors, your leaders after the spring camp. So thoughts on those guys and then also the backups.
The biggest thing for those guys is that they really haven't been in a position to where they've had to contribute, or, you know, you're expecting these guys to contribute. They've always been in situations to where anything that you got from them was extra or it's a bonus. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, are you going to lick the stamp or are you going to carry the mail? So right now these guys, you know, these guys are going to be put in a position and then now they're going to have to actually carry the mail. But the thing I thought that was interesting, though, the D'Arthur Cowan kid, he seems to be a freakish athlete, and he really looks like an SEC-caliber wide receiver. And then also Keon Hatcher, man. He looks like he made a couple of plays in the spring game. And, you know, I think the thing that we can say is that at receiver, we don't have those guys that right now are household names to us because, you know, they play behind four guys that played in the NFL. Mm-hmm. However, I think we do have some guys who are going to be very capable and who are going to be able to perform at the SEC level. We're just not exactly sure who those one or two guys are going to be right now.
Well, you got a bunch of size. You know, the shortest guy out of the top six is 6'1". I mean, you got a couple guys at 6'1", then you got Mikhail McKay out there. the freshman who came in so hyped, now a sophomore, 6'6", 195, and hopefully we'll get some opportunities for some jump balls with him.
Yeah, I like Mikael. I think the biggest thing with him is, can he separate? You know, he's really long, and, you know, he can go up and make some catches, but, you know, can he get off press coverage, and can he separate, you know, in a time to where you're not putting the quarterback under pressure, where a guy's sitting back there patting the ball, waiting on you to you know, to get away. And then also, can he run after the catch? You know, that's the thing I think we haven't seen from him at all, is being able to catch the ball, make a play, and then get downfield. We see him make a lot of catches in the end zone or the sideline, but, you know, he has a lot of talent, 6'6", size, kind of wiry at 195. But I can say at the receiver position, you know, we have guys who hadn't necessarily they hadn't done anything yet, but, you know, they have a lot of potential.
If you catch in the end zone, you don't have to make a whole lot of moves, though.
Right,
so
right,
I'd like
right.
to see him in some jump ball situations. Right. On the other side of the coin, of course, is you've got your defensive backs. And there was a kid, the redshirt freshman, Jared Collins, who came out and took the, at least at this point, the cornerback job from Will Hines, a guy we expected to win that position after spring. And as Coach Bielema said, you know, good thing is he does a lot of things right. Bad thing is there isn't a lot of him. 169 pounds is what he's listed at here. Not a very big kid. He is 6 feet tall, but certainly they need to beef him up to get ready for SEC play.
Right, but you know what the good thing is about having a new coaching staff is that it gives everybody a clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of competition during the spring, and I think that's great, I think, because we came off a year last year where we definitely didn't do as well as we had expected. So, you know, you want guys to come in and compete, and also guys who maybe didn't get a chance to play last year feel like they can get an opportunity. And at the end of the day, iron sharpens iron, and you can only get better as a team by having a lot of open competition.
One of the other interesting things I heard him say yesterday, I was listening to some of the sound from the press conference, and we'll play some of that for you today, was he said he asked Hawker, he said, who's your holder? And Hawker said, I don't know. And he said, you choose him. He said, and you get that guy, and you're going to be comfortable with him. I want you to be 100% on board that you guys are a team and all that. I thought that was interesting. I've never heard of a coach doing that. And maybe that's standard fare, but I've never really heard of that before. It's usually the coaching staff that assigns this kind of thing.
Well, it kind of depends on the way your coach runs practice, too, and as far as when your special teams period is, because a lot of times, you know, the punters and the kickers are off to themselves doing their deal. So it's usually either like the punter or someone like that is actually, a lot of times, is your holder. But I think that Bielema has Coach B has just a lot of insight into, you know, different positions and what makes these guys tick. And so I think that's really a unique way to go about it, because at the end of the day, you want to put guys in a position to where they can succeed and where they feel comfortable. So I think that's a tremendous insight on his part.
Justin Anchory joined by J.J. Metters in the Fury Electric studio today. Again, Chris Gregg coming up at the bottom of this hour. Jim Harris will join us at 11 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the red-white game. Also, he played in the Buzz Golf Tournament. We'll get his thoughts on that. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is going to be in town this week.
Really?
Yes, he is. He's going to be speaking at an event at the Clinton Center, and it is to benefit the Arkansas School for Math Sciences and the Arts. And Corey and Vicky are coming in today to talk about the event. And I think we have some tickets to give away as well. We've got a trivia question we'll throw for you. And then Chris Kralmus in the final hour today talking about Oblivion. Oblivion.
Man, that's great.
J.J. Metters is my go-to guy whenever it comes to football and just about anything in the world. But you also keep up better than I do as far as recruiting goes.
Right.
And we had news in the world of Twitter yesterday. And that's how we get most of our information, it seems like, these days. But apparently, Anton Beard has announced that he is going to go to the University of Arkansas. This is via Twitter,
yeah.
And I saw it on Sporting Life Arkansas from my man, Nate Olson.
Right.
So, thoughts on Anton Beard. I do have an issue with him, and it's not necessarily him.
The North Little Rock.
I have a problem with that whole deal.
Oh, come on,
that's
man.
A messy deal. Messy
no,
deal.
It's not.
It is?
It really is not.
Okay, you have to explain to me why. But anyway, as an Arkansas fan, I'm excited that he's going to Fayetteville. Certainly something I'm excited about. He is ranked around the top 100 by many of the recruiting sources, I'm told. You know, certainly had a lot of success in his year at Parkview. He is going to North Little Rock next year, 6'1", 170 pounds. I mean, got some upside. Okay, so tell me about Anton Beard, first of all, and then tell me why you don't have a problem with the North Little Rock move.
Anton Beard, point guard, tremendous basketball IQ. Lefty, really strong, really can score. Can defend. He can do a lot of things. He's not necessarily a high riser or above the rim type player, but he can get buckets. He's won. He's a winner. He works really hard. His dad is one of the guys that kind of works with their AAU program, and they're renowned around here for putting guys through tremendous workouts and, you know, getting after it and develop. And, you know, the kid has really developed over the last 3 or 4 years. And, you know, I think it's a good pickup for the University of Arkansas because he is a Little Rock guy and really helps basketball around the state. But at the same time, he's a guy who's going to go out there and go compete hard, and he's going to make the program a little bit better from the day he steps on campus.
Okay, I agree. Now, the other part of it.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
Man, he just went back to his home school. I mean, he's from North Little Rock, and you know, Parkview is a magnet school. So, mm-hmm. you know, just the way that things are set up now, you know, mm-hmm. he just decided to go back to the mm-hmm. school, you know, in his community, and that's where he wanted to finish up. Uh-huh. And personally, you know, I don't have a problem with that.
You don't?
No, not at all.
The fact that he has an All-State kid who's a senior graduating off of last year's team, and he has the best sophomore in the state who's also an AAU teammate of his who plays in North Little Rock, it does create a little bit of issue for me. You know, there are a lot of restrictions on what you can and can't do as a high school athlete in this state.
Right.
And there are kids that are – I have a friend. Here's a personal story.
Okay.
A friend who is a who has a daughter.
Okay.
Who transferred, who decided she felt there's a better fit going from school to school, private to private.
Right.
She is not a top-level recruit.
Right.
She is simply someone who wants to play basketball.
Yes.
She was told she had to sit out a year
because
she transferred from private school to private school.
Right.
But that wasn't okay.
Right.
So she couldn't play right away. She had to sit a year.
I was actually there for that. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
okay.
And look, I'm all for this kid, and I'm all for all kids. I don't like anybody having to sit out. To me, the more opportunities you give kids to participate, the better off everybody is.
Right.
The kid, the community, everybody.
Right.
But it does reek to high heaven that he's able to go over and put himself in a better situation competitively, by all accounts, because it's a magnet school versus a non-magnet school. It is bothersome.
It's within the letter of the rule.
But the rule needs to be addressed. There are some things going on there that are problematic for me here.
But at the same time, though, the thing that we don't want to do, and the thing that I really didn't like about our friend's situation was that it punishes. To me, it's different if you're playing in college where I can take a red shirt year and I still have 4 years to play.
Right.
But some of the situations with high school kids, the kid is the one that ends up getting punished a lot of times because in your buddy's case, his kid loses a year. You know, you can't go back and get a red shirt while you're in high school.
Right.
So that's, you know, I think that AAA does a great job with trying to make sure that everybody does everything on a fair, everything is fair and there's a level playing field. But, you know, there's always going to be exceptions. There's always going to be little loopholes, and, you know, just fortunately, unfortunately in this case is that, you know, the kid was at a magnet school and does live in North Little Rock, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's within the letter of the rule.
Wait, yeah, it's within the letter of the rule, Jay, but let me say this. If North Little Rock had won 12 games last year, A, we wouldn't be having this conversation, and B, I'd have a lot more respect if he wanted to go back to North Little Rock and said, hey, you know what, I want to go help out my hometown team. They won 12 games last year. They need me.
Man.
Oh, but the fact that they won a crap pile of games last year and they have the best sophomore returning next season – that makes me think that's a little weird.
But that's like that would be like if the Mike and Mike show called you and say, hey Justin, hey, we want you to come, and you know, I know you're doing great down here with the Buzz, but you know, this is ESPN, it's the show. You know, would you say, oh well, you know, hey, I've been here in Little Rock and this is where I got my start and I'm just gonna stay here and I'm gonna ride.
Well, that's not exactly an apples to apples comparison. No, it isn't. I'm all for giving opportunities, but we're not supposed look, if we're gonna look at high school sports in the way it's supposed to be looked at, like you said, it's not college sports, it's not pro sports. This is, you know what this is? This is the Miami Heat. Hey, let's get the gang all together, go win us a championship. You know what? Hey, you hate it up in Canada.
You can't.
Let's get Ray Allen. We'll go down to Miami. We'll help D-Wade out. We'll roll. We'll win us a championship.
You know,
it'll be great.
It's just that these kids are just not average kids, man, and they're just trying to put themselves in the best position moving forward.
Look, if a school in Connecticut calls him and he wants to go play for a great school in Connecticut in high school, that would be more of a fair comparison to me going to Mike and Mike.
Oh,
so if Bristol High calls Anton Beard to come ball for him and he doesn't go and they're a state championship-worthy team, then I would have to say, well, why not? It's just that would be more of an apples-to-apples comparison. This is a little bit fishy. I don't know what – if anybody else has a problem with this, please help me.
Man, I'm just for the kids, man.
I am too. I'm like, let's be consistent, though. I want some common sense rules, and this is not one.
Oh, my God. But like I said, the AAA made the rules, and it's within the letter of the rules.
But my job is to point out things that are fishy, and this is fishy. You smell that?
Negative.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to agree to disagree. It's 10:28. We'll argue about this in the break. Top SEC quarterbacks for 2013. If we haven't been controversial yet, just wait. J.J. Metters has some thoughts that you may disagree with. If I don't have you on my side now, you may be disagree with J.J. coming up. Stay tuned.